if we split that up into different roles and kind of let these individuals focus on what is important, they're going to provide better results for us, which is huge.
Sip, create, repeat. A podcast providing marketing strategies you can consume over a cup of coffee.
Hello, and welcome to the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. My name is Alicia Hansen. We are always happy to be back. And today we have a couple interesting marketing news updates and our main topic, how hiring can actually save you time and money. I get it. Like, running your own business can be stressful. The idea of bringing someone on can actually be more work, because who needs that? But really, we're going to dive into why, how, what, when, where do you find these people? We know how to make this happen and how to help you do it for yourself. So first off, Julie and I are going to dive into the marketing news. This is as of June 3rd, 2021. Julia, we have made it almost a full half a year into 2021. Unbelievable. What are you seeing happening on your end of things?
Yeah, so first one, kind of big. Google just recently announced that they're going to be adding several expansions to their Google Ads and to their e-commerce platform. So some of the things that they're going to be adding is a targeting model for customer match. People will be able to use that. An automated program called Smart Bidding, and a performance tracking platform called Performance Max, as well as YouTube and display ads will be integrated and added so that more people have access to these things. So this is all in an effort to widen the availability of these first-party tools rather than having people outsource and use third-party cookies, as those cookies are sort of being slowly phased out. So it's all in an effort to put everything into one place. And I think that's huge for Google. And as they're the ones that are kind of phasing out these cookies, it's a smart idea to be putting everything in one place and giving more people access.
100% agree. I think everything that's happened between Facebook, Google, Apple, all the things that have been happening in 2021, this is not surprising whatsoever. And speaking of, what's happening over at Facebook?
So Facebook also kind of announced an expansion. During their Facebook Developer Conference, they announced that they will be opening up their Messenger API so that businesses and brands can actually interact with users directly through Instagram. So another huge thing that's giving more people accessibility. And so this will be rolled out in different phases, with the first phase being accounts with followers over 10,000, under 100,000 will be able to connect to the API. And then phase two will expand to 1,000 to 100,000. And then all remaining accounts will be added in phase three. And this basically just means that the Messenger API will be integrated and can be integrated into like social media marketing tools and other third-party platforms that allow brands to like track customer behavior. So people will be able to interact directly through Instagram rather than having to use like the Facebook inbox or going to the site itself.
Yeah. I think it's really big because so many brands use, Messenger automations inside of Facebook, and it's really powerful. Especially there's a lot of really, really good Messenger platforms out there. We tend to use ManyChat for a lot of our kind of automated chat builds. So it's really, really incredible. We've run full-blown giveaways through that before. We've helped people find the right wheels and tires for their cars before just from this messaging automation. And what it does is it helps your sales and support staff a lot, right? Like it's another tool. And it's, you know, one of the only 24/7, team members you're ever going to have. So it's really important. And I know a lot of businesses are finding that Facebook's reach lately has been really far down, or there's a ton of brands that just prefer to put all of their eggs inside of the Instagram basket, right? Like it's feature rich. It has a ton of, capabilities to go viral, especially with Reels now and IGTV. So there's so much to be said, with the capabilities of Instagram, and now having the ability to do this is pretty impressive.
It's wild to see how everything is just becoming so online shopping forward, right? You know, the pandemic has changed that. We are all online. We discussed this last episode in terms of how shopping patterns are changed. We're looking at least 20% anticipated of sales being made online this year, which I know we all agree that is probably a low estimate. So, you know, I think this really emphasizes the importance of not just marketing, not just sales, but customer service, right? And I think, you know, you don't have sales unless you have customers. And if your customers aren't satisfied with their experience from start to finish, it's going to keep it hard to make money in the first place, let alone get those customers back. So not shocking here. Sure. In terms of some other news, I don't know about you guys. I actually, when Clubhouse rolled out last year, I was an early adapter. I was like, what is happening? I can't go to networking events. I can talk to people on the internet way easier than anything else I've ever seen before. So I was one of those people that tracked down an invite. Thank you, Chris, again. And it's really been interesting, especially since it started as iOS. Well, good news for them. Clubhouse is gaining more traction on Android. At their weekly town hall, Clubhouse announced two pieces of information. One, the app now has over 2 million Android users. Last week, that number was just 1 million. So that's 1 million new users in a week. That tells you Clubhouse ain't going anywhere, in my personal opinion. People are still very interested in this platform if they are chatty folks like I am and they know how to connect, no question. Secondly, Clubhouse plans to do a general release, i.e. make it available without an invite, somewhere this summer. So kids, this is like when Facebook went from the EDU addresses to a little bit of everybody, right? So this could be the next big thing, right? And you know, there's something about being an early adapter to something. There's something about jumping in, making yourself known. I have some personal friends who have literally changed their lives based on the connections that they have made on Clubhouse in the past year. So if you consider yourself a connector and aren't on yet, I suggest dabbling at the very least, jumping in a room, throwing yourself up on stage. It's a really cool place to connect with people that I think, especially after the past year, listen, we're all humans. Humans need this interconnection, you know, personally. And it's also finding that really interesting blend between going from super salesy, like for a while, it was a lot of life coaches and sales coaches. It seems to be blending out a little bit more where it really is about community again. So as a person who does find value in Clubhouse, keep an eye on that one. Secondly, we're looking at some information coming out from LinkedIn. And this is not surprising to the marketers in the room, right? LinkedIn data shows big growth in digital marketing skills in 2021. You know, there's no surprise that everyone's making a lot of transition from traditional marketing to especially digital marketing. So people saying that they have more skills in Instagram, up 72%. Content marketing, up 63%. In Hootsuite, up 39%. Other fast-growing skills include Adobe Premiere Pro, marketing automation, and Facebook marketing. Listen, again, looking at the past year, life has changed. How we're reaching people has changed. The more time we're spending on these electronic devices have changed. So it's not shocking that marketing skills have also changed. So don't be surprised to see this trend to continue in the direction. I'll be interested to see what other skill sets become popular, right? Maybe as a podcast host or a Clubhouse moderator, right? It's always very funny to see resumes these days and to sort of see how, you know, what life skills come about on them instead.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you for that marketing news. There's so much excitement going on. And if you're a small business and you are trying to grow or you feel like you're growing, you're probably fighting that battle right now, that battle of, you know, can you afford to hire? Can you afford not to hire? When is the right time? How can you tell? So in this episode, myself and Pat are really going to talk about the way that we've grown the Handshake Digital team and some of the platforms that we've used to grow the Handshake Digital team and ways that you can adopt that into your business so that you can take less risk when hiring and start to offload some of those tasks on your plate. So Pat, you know, when do people know, you know, like how do people know it's time to hire their first person?
I think really, you know, what it comes down to is you know, it's actually probably when you think you're not ready to, right? So it's the constant battle is always, and we fought with this for a while. It's like, you know, can we actually afford to bring someone on to do this at whatever that might be? And I, like, the first person we looked to hire was just a project manager, right? Someone to just make sure, because when we started out with just the two of us, we're doing everything from the smallest task on a project to strategic planning of how we're going to grow the company for the next insert years here. And when you're doing that, it's just like a lot of different things, a lot of different balls up in the air, and being able to keep things organized, make sure nothing's falling through the cracks, make sure that, you know, emails are getting responded to in a timely fashion, and, you know, to-dos are getting checked off in a timely fashion, for us was the biggest thing that we could add. And we were like, you know what? If we want to truly grow, we need to do this. And at the time, you know, it was, budget was tight. We were like, we have to spend this money smartly. And I think finding A, the right role to start with, and then B, just committing, right? You just have to do it. You can't say, well, you know what? I need to close one more client to do this, or I need to make sure I get X amount more sales and then we can afford to do this. I think you have to just dive in, do it, and then say, okay, now I have more time to get those things that's going to help offset this too.
Exactly. It's one of those things where if you wait till you're ready, you're never going to be ready. Right. And we felt like that. We were like, the amount of, you don't realize as a business owner, the amount of time that you spend doing stuff that you're never going to see ROI on. Right. Like, I'm not going to see ROI on sending a calendar invite necessarily, taking the 15 minutes of back and forth emails, trying to figure out the best time I can chat with somebody on the phone, or, hey, here's version one of your logo, you know, tell me what you think. And then, oh yeah, I need to make sure I set a reminder for 2 days from now to make sure that that person has given me feedback. Otherwise I need to go back and follow up with them. Right. So what winds up happening is you spend all your time doing these tasks, and it's just eating away at your ability to do those high level things, like Pat said, strategic planning for how can we actually grow? How can we become more profitable? What service can we add to our business, or what service can we make better for our business? So there's a lot of ways, and if you do wait until you're comfortable and ready, then you've waited way too long, in my opinion. Usually, as a small business owner, you work late, you work weekends, you start to feel like you're burning the candle at both ends, and that never really goes away, but it can be a bit more efficient when it is burning at both ends. So, you know, if you're in a business similar to ours, where you offer primarily online services or direct-to-consumer businesses, this would be really big. And, you know, we're in a really, you know, fortunate position where we can use services like Upwork or Fiverr to actually kind of vet out new team members. So Pat, you know, what have we done in an agency on those platforms? And let's talk a little bit about how we've taken someone maybe from Upwork and, you know, don't tell the folks at Upwork, but we've converted them into, you know, being, you know, team members for us.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the biggest things, not only just utilizing those platforms, to actually find and develop talent, it's also those platforms have allowed us to kind of mitigate risk on our side, right? So one of the big things when you're going to hire a lot of people is, like, especially from a small business side, is, you know what, I'm not ready to dive into everything that comes with hiring, like, a full-time employee, right? Salary, benefits, tax implications, all of it is huge. So, you know, you're usually looking for contractors, and then you say, well, where do I go to find this? So we've really utilized Upwork probably the most, I would say, for finding ongoing talent that we're looking for. And it's a great resource that you can kind of put out what you're looking for, get people submitting proposals, review those proposals. And then what we tend to do is we actually do trial runs with most people. So we'll, whether that is, we say, like, a full commit where we want to give you like a 30-day trial, or a lot of times, like, when we've been looking for even video editors and things recently, we say, hey, we're just going to throw you one project, see how this goes, and, like, see if what you do is a fit for us. And so it doesn't even necessarily need to be a long-term commitment with them. You could say, like, hey, we just want to trial a project with you, see what you come up with, and then see if that kind of fits what we're looking for, and then take it from there. So it's a really, really good tool to kind of help vet, find, test, and then, you know, quickly move on if you need to, because that's always the biggest thing is like, we say, you know, hire hire slow, fire quick. We take a lot of time looking for someone that we think is going to work out. You know, we do a couple Zoom calls. We try to understand a little bit about them, kind of just their style, their personality. Are they going to fit with what we do? And then, you know, if it isn't working out or it isn't a good fit after maybe one test project, we don't drag it on. We say, look, hey, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out, but we wish you the best of luck and just kind of keep it moving.
Yeah, I think being really, really overly transparent is key, right? Making sure that whatever job description you're putting on a website like Upwork, make sure that it lines up exactly with what you're expecting of this person. Make sure that when you have phone calls or Zoom calls or whatever chats you're having back and forth with this person while you're vetting them out, make sure all of that is really well known. And also that you are going to maybe, hey, if you're going to take the route that we do, where we say, here's a trial project, I want you to, you know, create this thing. Just so you know, we are doing this with two or three other freelancers at the same time. Because what's going to happen is now you've started to create a competition, right? And ultimately, people are going to perform best when they have that little bit of like competition. And they're going to make sure that they're bringing their A game. You're going to see their best work right then. And it's an easy way to get a good understanding of, is this person going to be, you know, aligned well with us or not? And just, you know, also understand that this person's probably going to ask a lot of questions. So, Pat, can you talk a little bit about processes and their importance and their role in the hiring process?
Yeah, I mean, like I was just going to say, I think one of the biggest things for us when we went to hire is process driven, right? So before we even put a application or a project out there, we kind of really went in and said, well, what exactly is this person going to do? And then once they get in that role, ongoing, what are they going to be doing? So essentially, like, mm-hmm. developing their day-to-day process or their ongoing process for a project is huge. And honestly, it's a great way to look internally on your business and define roles, define what those people in those roles are doing, and then also, you know, kind of map it out. Because once you have that mapped out, say a contractor moves on, that process is in place. And when you're working with those contractors, one of the big things, our project manager, we constantly are working with her to say, like, how can we improve? What can we do better? Are there tools that we can, you know, find to help make your job more efficient and whatever it might be? So we're working with them to even constantly update that process and things like that. And when we have that in place, it's huge, because it would help transitioning from contractor to contractor. It helps let you know, like, okay, is the role that we had someone in the right role? I think, you know, Chris, one of the big things that happened was we had a contractor back in the day, and she was doing like everything. She was project manager, she was social media manager, she was marketer, she was doing everything for us. And we learned, A, it kind of burnt her out on our end, and B, that it was like, if we split that up into different roles and kind of let these individuals focus on what is important, they're going to provide better results for us, which is huge.
Yeah, I think that was something we learned very quickly, and there's a key there too, right? Like, you're going to be learning the entire time you're doing this. You're a business owner, like, you're always learning something new, something different, right? And back to processes, it's not even, you know, having the stuff aligned for the person you're going to hire is key, but also making sure that the work that you do has a process outlined for it. And it sounds like boring work to do, and honestly, it is boring work to do, but it's so important, because then if you're busy, say you hire someone, and there's a good chance that if you're hiring someone, it's because you're busy, you're not going to have the time to sit down with that person or have multiple like video meetings with that person over and over and over again about, okay, here's how you do this, here's how you do this, here's what we typically do in this situation, right? So we built out these really, you know, kind of full-blown transparent outlines of every type of project that we take on as a business, and every step of the way what the person should be doing. Here's where you'll find this template, here's where you'll find, you know, this, you know, file, whatever it is that you're looking for. And we typically would send, you know, 1, 2, and 3 to the client in return. So it really helps us become more streamlined internally, And again, there's a chance that if you're hiring, it's because you're busy and maybe you're not so streamlined and you need to be, you know, you need to get that way. But I think the process is not only for the actual, the role and the job, but it's also for, you know, type of work itself.
I think the key with those, right, is repeatability. You don't want to, you want to create something that you can update and it will, I mean, we use a Google Doc, but we also have like video recordings with screen sharing on it that explains like, you know, things as small as how we organize files on our shared drive, things like that, where it's just, you want to create something that you don't have to necessarily get on a meeting and explain every single time you're onboarding a new person. If you can kind of create that evergreen content or a really good living, breathing document that's updated as things change, then when you go to onboard someone else, it's already in place, and that should be an even faster process.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, now I kind of want to kick it back over to Alicia and Julia a little bit and chat about, you know, what did you guys, when you were looking for companies, and I know you guys are a little bit unique because you're local, Alicia, we knew you before this, but what do you look for in a company? And also, what are some things you've learned since joining our team?
It'll be also interesting because there is just enough of an age difference between Julia and I as the geriatric millennial of the Tan Chic team. I know that I am at a state in my life where flexibility is the biggest thing an employer can give me. My past employer luckily gave me flex time. So even though I was anticipated, you know, expected to be in an office Monday through Friday, air quotes, 9 to 5, you know, I was really able to come and go as I needed, you know, whether I was scheduling early meetings, late networking events, things of that nature. I also have a toddler, a family, a very robust personal life and extracurriculars, if you will. So, you know, that's always was top of mind, even in the situation where I lost my full-time job because of COVID and luckily reconnected with the Handshake team in the long run and have found myself here a year later, which is amazing still. For me, any opportunity still to this day, whether it is more in the marketing related tasks I do, the work I do as a yoga teacher, or as a cycle instructor, you know, the flexibility for me is key. And ultimately, I don't mind making my own schedule. I don't mind working at 6 a.m., 8 p.m. because if I know I got to pick up my daughter at 4:15, my employers support that. So at least as a almost 38-year-old, flexibility is my number one priority when in the job search hunt, which I am happy to say I am currently not because I'm a very happy Handshake team member. So confirming that
listen,
for the guys.
Listen. Those preschool or daycare hours Ooh. Are not 9 to 5 friendly. So I'm very thankful for the flexibility that I have as well, in having a couple of kids and having to drop off and pick up and do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, my wife's a school teacher. You think like, this is like your, before remote work was like really a thing. It was like, I want to be a teacher. Cause I get, you know, my time off, right? I get that flexibility. It's a family friendly job.
They're done
like,
by no, three. Not, no, they're not.
School. Yeah. You have to be at school when your kids actually need to be picked up somewhere else. So I certainly hear that. What about you, Julia?
So I had a really weird experience graduating during the pandemic. I'm 23. This is my first job in the field that I want to be in, where I got my degree in. So for me, when I was just like I was getting desperate. I was cold sending my resume to just any local place that I could find. Communication was kind of the key. Even for people who were advertising that they have jobs available, a lot of times I would send my resume and my cover letter and I just wouldn't hear anything back. And then when I'm cold sending, a lot of times I also didn't hear anything back. So that communication of either, hey, we're not looking for anybody right now, thanks for sending your resume, but no, like literally anything at that point, just hearing from somebody that what I was doing, like as an encouragement that what I was doing wasn't wrong, was a big thing. And then from there, just communication within like the company. I love how we have like these weekly meetings where we like chat and catch up, and also knowing that I'm not coming in with a whole lot of experience. I have what I learned in school, but the willingness for like the company to grow with me and work with me and teach me is something that I really valued when looking, and then what I really value now that I've found and I'm not looking.
Keywords.
Right. And so I think that's yeah. And so I think that's important, right? As you're, and if you're a business owner, and as we wrap up here, if you're a business owner and you're getting people that are kind of cold emailing you saying, "Hey, I want to work for you," just shoot them a response back, whether you're hiring or not, and just say like, "Hey, we're not hiring right now, but I'll keep your information." That's what we did with Julia. She emailed me, I think it was in January. It was like, "Hey, I'm going to be graduating. I am looking for a job in, you know, 123. I live in Rocky River, which is where our office is based out of. And, you know, I'd love to work for you guys, or I'd love to have an opportunity to work for you guys." And I responded back. It was like, "You know, we're not really in the position to hire right now, but I'll message you whenever that comes up. And if you're still available, awesome. If not, you know, we'll look somewhere else." And so as Pat and I started to feel like Alicia was, you know, a lot on her plate and was starting to really, you could almost feel that burnout a little bit. She does have a rather robust personal life with so many fun things that she does also. So we wanted to make sure that she got to do those things that she loved. So that's when I just reached back out to Julia. I was like, "Hey, do you still need a job?" Like, thinking, no way, right? Not a chance. And sure enough, she was available.
Yes,
so
please, take me.
To all of you that didn't respond to her, you missed out. Thank you. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We hope this brings you a little bit of comfort in that decision if you're wrestling with it right now on hiring, not hiring, where you need to be at. I promise you, you'll probably make more money if you actually pull on the right team member and understand quickly if that person is going to be the right team member or not. If you can't work well with them, if you can't tell, we all work pretty well together, but if you can't work well with them, then you do need to move on pretty quickly. And so as long as you're transparent and open about it, I think that you will find some success in this, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Hey It's Handshake. If you need anything from us, be sure to drop them in the comments on social media. We will drop this episode as soon as we can. We will be in touch. Thanks, guys.